Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on Near FM with myself, Patrick Donoghue. On the show today, I'll be talking to author Sarah Webb about her new book, Blazing a Trail, Irish Women Who Changed the World. We'll be chatting to Sarah about some of the incredible sports women featured in the book. And later in the show, I'll be talking to Gerard Farrell, who will be talking about an upcoming talk on Saturday about the New York Bohemians. But first of all in the show, I'm delighted to be joined on the line by author Sarah Webb. Sarah, thanks a million for joining me today.
No, thank you for having me.
So Sarah, your book, we're of course a sports show, so we'll be talking about other people, mainly the sports people that feature in the book. But can I just to start off, what was the inspiration? What inspired you to write the book?
Well, I would be a big reader myself, and I have a daughter and two sons, so I share books with them all the time. And I often realised with the general kind of history, sports books, that there were very few women in the pages. So if I was reading history of sport in Ireland, there might be one or two women, but very few. If I was reading about science, very few. So I thought, well, you know, I'd like to do something about that. And so I started doing a little digging, and I realised that there were lots and lots of women doing remarkable things in the past. It's just that they haven't always been documented in books. So that was kind of what started me off.
Yeah, and looking at the sports people featured, the first name that cropped up and when I was looking at it, and I must confess I never heard of her, Anne O'Brien. She was the footballer. Can you tell us a bit about her? Or she was an incredible woman.
Yeah, she was amazing. Now, what I did is there's a couple of areas where I wouldn't be as strong in, and I have to admit, Patrick, sport would be one of them. Although I'm a keen watcher of sport, I wouldn't be an expert. So what I did is I reached out to Mary Hannigan in the Irish Times and also the lads in News Talk on Off the Ball. And I asked a few sports people, well, who were your incredible Irish sports people? And Mary said Anne O'Brien, and I'd never heard of her. So she sent me some links to articles because there's no books about Anne. So Anne was a professional international footballer for 18 years in Italy and in France. She played for Stade de Reims, and she played for Lazio and all kinds of amazing, amazing teams. And when I talk to the girls and boys in schools about this book, the lads always go, oh, Lazio. No, I must admit, I'm not sure who they are, but apparently they're an incredible team in the in Italy. And so they were always very impressed by that. But she basically was spotted by the French coach who asked her to join his team. And then she was headhunted by the Italians to play in the Italian Serie A. And she won loads of cups and awards, leagues and cups during her time. And then she became a football coach. Incredible, incredible story. And, you know, she was related as well to Johnny Giles and Jimmy Conway. So there was football in her blood. She was from Inchicore.
It was incredible. And reading your piece about her, like, even like I've heard people, sports people talking, and they talk about being homesick. And like when she moved over, she was only 17, and she
17 years old,
and she mastered the French language so quickly. So it was just such a great achievement what she did.
And then not only did she master French, then she mastered Italian. And then she lived the rest of her life in Italian.
Yeah.
And she has a son who unfortunately she passed away in 2016.
Yeah.
But I was very privileged to meet her family, the O'Brien family, who I think she had lots of brothers and sisters. And I met some of them at the book launch, including Tony. And they were very helpful just with some of the facts for the piece, because obviously there's not that much written about her.
It's incredible. And I think that's the great thing about the book. I've been reading it over the last few days. Like, it gives you a sense that you can read more about these people. Like that, I thought that was a brilliant thing about it.
Yeah, well, what I was trying to do is capture the spirit of each of the women. Like Anne was just a very strong, committed, fun-loving woman. And so each, like Sonia Sullivan, very driven, very ambitious, you know, to capture each of the women's kind of spirit, and as well as obviously all their achievements and facts, which are interesting. But I think a list of facts wouldn't be interesting to anyone.
Yeah.
What you're trying to do is make them kind of come alive on the page, you know.
Yeah. And on them coming alive, I must say, the illustrations are really
fantastic.
Great.
Yeah. So those were by Lauren O'Neill, who is a young Irish illustrator. And again, she was just trying to capture the women's kind of spirit on the page. And I think she did a brilliant job. Some of them are hilarious.
Yeah.
I love her Mary Robinson. It's particularly funny.
Yeah.
And it's great.
And another incredible woman, a real trailblazer, I want to ask you about, Maeve Kyle. Could you tell us maybe a bit about her?
Yeah, so Maeve Kyle was another woman that I hadn't heard of. And she was the first woman to represent us in the Olympics. So she was born in 1928, and she's originally from Kilkenny.
Yeah.
She played hockey as a young woman. She played for Ireland 58 times.
Yeah.
And then she met Sean Kyle, who became her husband and her running coach.
Mm.
And she became one of the star athletes in Ballymena and Antrim Athletics Club. So in 1956, Maeve was chosen to compete for Ireland in the Olympics. And she got a terrible time. People called her unladylike.
Yeah.
She was denounced from the pulpit by the priest. And there were letters in the paper saying that she was a disgrace. People threw things at her when she was out training. They threw boots and bottles and things at her because they just didn't believe a woman should be running around in shorts and leaving her children behind, even though it was actually her husband who was training her, and he was very happy for her to go and represent her country. So she went on to represent Ireland then in 1960 in the Olympics and in 1964 in Tokyo. And she really came into her own as in the Masters and won 30 medals in international championships during her career. But she was amazing. So she paved the way for people like Sonia Sullivan and Catherine McKiernan and all the people who have come after her. But she was incredible. But I love her tenacity, you know, and I love the fact that she was getting a lot of flack, but she just kept going.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
And you mentioned in one of the bits, even getting to Australia in her first Olympics, she had to fund herself to go over.
Yes, she did. She had to raise £200, which was a huge amount at the time. Yeah. And she didn't have the backup that, you know, that the sports people would have today, although I know they're largely not that well funded now either.
Yeah.
But she really had to deal with her own kit. She ended up washing a lot of boys and ironing a lot of the boys' kit. She took on a kind of mammy role, I think, over there. But she was an amazing woman.
No, and a common theme in your book, the likes of Maeve Kyle, they, like, nowadays it's easier. I know there's a lot of barriers, but they kind of, as you said, they did pave the way for other people, and athletes now don't have them barriers, so they were real trailblazers, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely they were. I mean, if you think it was only there's another woman in the book called Lady Heath, and it was due to her hard work that she fought for women to be allowed to compete in athletics in the Olympics, because before that they were only doing things like, you know, archery and painting.
Yeah.
Did you know there was painting in the Olympics in years past, which I thought was hilarious?
Yeah.
But she campaigned for women to compete in athletics. And it was only in 1928 that women were allowed to compete in athletics and gymnastics, which gymnastics, as we know, is huge, women's gymnastics. But and she was another woman. She was called Sophie Mary Pierce Evans. She was from Limerick. She married James Heath, who was an English politician, and became Lady Heath.
Yeah.
And she was an aviator, so a sportswoman in her own right. And she actually took part in, she set world records herself for high jump and the javelin. She was over 6 foot tall. So she was another sportswoman from our past.
Yeah. And of course, you mentioned Sonia O'Sullivan is featured in the book. Like
the great Sonia.
Her achievements, what she achieved, were incredible.
Outstanding, absolutely. 3 world championships, 3 European championships, and 4 world records. And ran, of course, for Ireland in the Olympic Games 4 times. Yeah, she was amazing.
Yeah.
I think from a young age, she was, you know, an extraordinary talent. And I love the fact that it didn't always go easy for her.
Yeah.
You know, she had knockbacks along the way, but she just kept going, and was determined. And then finally got the medal first in 2000, the silver medal in the 5,000 metres. And she still is such a great commentator and supporter of athletics. So it's great that she's still, you know, a voice for athletes, which is brilliant.
Yeah, and you mentioned in our book, it's gone full circle. Our daughter is now competing for Ireland, so that's exciting.
That amazing? Sophie, Australian and Irish champion, and a high jump. I hadn't realised as well she was a high jumper as well as a runner. So, someone to watch in the future, I think, which is amazing.
Well, Sarah, the book, I must admit, it's really, really great. It's for children, I'd say it would inspire them, but for adults, it's something you can pick up, very, very inspiring. And I just want to ask you, before I let you go, you also mentioned some athletes that are modern athletes paving the way. And reading at the end of the book, you mentioned Katie Taylor and Gina Akpe-Moses. She's an exciting talent as well.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted sort of young readers to see that, you know, that there's people blazing a trail into the future. So Gina, I was fascinated by, you know, she was born in Nigeria, but she began running when she was living in Dundalk for St. Gerard's Athletics Club. And she won a gold medal at the European Athletics Under 20 Championships 2 years ago, 2017. So it's amazing seeing a young woman like that running for Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully, touch wood, in the future we might see some medals from Gina. She's incredible. And then obviously we have Katie Taylor. Extraordinary athlete. Amazing.
That's great. Listen, Sarah, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. The book
thank you.
The book Blazing a Trail, Irish Women Who Changed the World. It's available in all good bookshops now. Thanks a million for your time this evening.
Online at near.ie and on air across northeast Dublin. 90.3. This is Near FM.
Welcome back to Be On The Back Page on Near FM with myself, Patrick Donoghue. And I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Gerard Farrell. And Gerard is going to tell us about the New York Bohemians. Gerard will be giving a talk along with Michael Keelty on Saturday in Dalymount Park. Gerard, how are you today?
Patrick, hi, how are you? Thanks for having us on.
Not too bad. So, Gerard, can you tell us, who were the New York Bohemians?
Yeah, well, I suppose, as you were saying, I'll be doing a talk this Saturday in Dalymount at 1 p.m. About the New York Bohemians. And it was something that I uncovered. I'm a member, and I write a lot of stuff for the Bohemians website and for the League of Ireland website and a few other bits and pieces. And I do a lot of kind of historic pieces, about the history of the club, history of the league, interesting players, interesting lesser told stories. And I was actually looking up a piece for a couple of the centenaries we had over the last couple of years with the rising happening, and this interesting story about the Bohemians players being stuck down in Athlone at a match and not being able to get to the city and so on. And I was researching a piece about two players who were involved with Bohemians and who were actually involved with the IRA during the War of Independence. And I was reading through the National Library, and I came across a clipping in a 1920s publication called Football Sports Weekly, trying to research a bit about that. And I came across this article saying the New York Bohemians, and mentioning a couple of players who I'd come across before. And I said, look, this warrants some further investigation. And speaking to Michael Keatley, Michael works in Dublin Business School, and his grandfather played for Bohemians back in the day as well. And we kind of researched a few bits and pieces together. So the basis of the talk is kind of examining who these players were. And then when we kind of got into researching it, it kind of broadened out a bit more. It became, we were saying, well, is this part of a wider pattern of Irish players going to America in that time? Yeah. And you know, were there players going over before that? And we found there were. I mean, there's the one of the first Bohemians players that we found going over to the United States was at, just at the turn of the 20th century there. So even prior to this team that was set up in Astoria in Queens in the 1920s, that kind of was active from kind of about 1923, 24 all the way through to about 1928, 29, as best we can tell. And you know, it's kind of interesting. There's a lot of stories about these were all amateur players. Obviously, Bose was a strictly amateur team at the time.
Yeah.
They went over and kind of wanted to refound an American version of their club because they weren't professional players hired to go over there. They were, I suppose, people who had day jobs and obviously a struggling Irish economy.
Yeah.
They emigrated for work, but they kind of wanted to keep a bit of Dublin with them there in New York. So they set up a football club based on Bohemians where a lot of them were players and members, and they wore the red and black, and they had plans to call their home ground New Daily Mount.
Wow, there's
interesting letters back to the Irish, to the Evening Herald, in fact, to that were published saying how much they missed Fizzer and how they missed, you know, pints of the hut and things like that. So it was kind of a very interesting, very personal story, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And how successful was the club in America?
I suppose they had kind of mixed success. Some of the players ended up moving on to other teams and actually playing professionally. They were very talented, some very talented players there. One of the most prominent is a guy called Joe Steins, and he'd be the great uncle of Jim Steins, player, and Brian Steins, who won an All-Ireland for Dublin. And Joe Steins himself won an All-Ireland for Dublin in the 20s, but he was also a soccer player, and he played for Bohemians and was quite successful for Bohemians in the 20s. And then he ended up falling foul of the GAA ban. For various reasons, he ended up going over to play in America. And he played for the New York GAA team, but also played for the New York Bohemians and also played professionally over there. He was a very talented sportsman. And, you know, he did quite well. The team had a kind of a very mixed sort of run. They had some games where they were actually quite successful and the other games where they kind of had some heavy losses because I suppose it was it's quite a mixed bag. You had guys who were so just to put it in context, Bohemians at the time would have had five or six different teams. They would have a B team, a C team, a D team, all the way down to an E team. And there was a group we found called the Bohemian Strollers, which I'm guessing were kind of like a veterans team, team. And so some of the players who went over were not necessarily first team stars. There were guys who were, you know, would play maybe on a Saturday or Sunday at a B or C team level. But one of their first games was interesting enough. It was against a team called Galicia, who were basically a team founded by kind of Spanish immigrants from that part of Spain. And they were playing Bohemians as a warm-up to a game they were playing the following week. And that game was against a touring side from Real Madrid. So I mean, it was quite interesting. They were playing the New York Bohemians one week and Real Madrid the following week. So it's quite interesting. Yeah. Like we had newspaper reports we found in the New York Times talking about 1,000 Irish football fans turning up to see the Bohemian team train as they were, you know, setting up before one of these matches. So there was kind of some big games they played in, and some players who had kind of disproportionate success and had, you know, did quite well. Where other guys, I think it was more just that they wanted a team to have a bit of a kick about, and they wanted something to remind them of home. So they're trying to recreate a little bit of Dublin in New York, you know?
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. And so the talk is at, it's 1 p.m. is it on Saturday at Dailymount Park?
1 p.m. in Dailymount Park. So we're in the members bar of Dailymount Park, and it's free to enter, although we are asking if people can to make a donation to the Bohemian Foundation, who do a lot of work with the community. They do kind of walking football. They do work with prisoners in Mountjoy. They do a lot of community work. So if people can, it'd be great for them to throw a couple of euro in a bucket at the end. But and there'd be tea and coffee and so on at the event as well. So look, we're hopeful that people will come down. And just for anyone out there who's not a Bohemians fan, we aren't just talking about Bohemians. Yeah. There is a kind of a wider pattern of immigration from Ireland to America and football players there. And some interesting stuff about Philadelphia Celtic, who basically cherry pick some of the top players from Shamrock Rovers and from Glentoran and places like that. And kind of there's a great story about a kind of somewhat dodgy Irish businessman who tries to set up a football team and kind of ends up very quickly realizing he doesn't have the money to fund it, and what happens to those players. And there's quite a few interesting stories there. Everything from Michael Collins to heroic lifeguards and all this stuff with a football connection running through it. So something there for every interest, I hope.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. I think it's a must for anyone that loves history and loves sport. Before I let you go, Gerard, can I just ask you, we're only a few weeks away from the start of the U season. How do you rate, you mentioned you're a big Bows fan, how do you rate their prospects for the upcoming season?
I suppose a few disappointing bits of news in the off-season with Shane Thupple, our goalkeeper, retiring. Anyone who was at a Bows match would know how good a season Shane had. And he was called up the Ireland squad on the back of those performances. He was really excellent for us, but he's had a kind of a long-term injury which has kind of caught up with him. And his loss is going to be huge for the team. I think we'll probably start a bit slow. There's a lot of... new players signed, a lot of younger guys coming back from England, and you know, I think generally in those cases it takes maybe two or three games for them to get used to the pace of the league and get used to that kind of high tempo first team football. But I think we'll have maybe a bit of a slow start, but I think we'll be comfortable enough. I hope so anyway. I think despite Stephen Kenny leaving, I think it's going to be Dundalk's league to lose. They have a very very strong squad, I think, and they've recruited well. And do you know what? I hate to say it, but I think Shamrock Rovers will be in with a shout. They'll be
strong this
top
year.
Two or three. I'll be interested to see if Cork can bring anyone else in. But for the Bohemians, I'm hoping for comfortable mid-table and maybe a bit of a cup run. I'd love to get us to a cup final again. We haven't been at one since 2008, and that seems far too long a time. So. That's my prediction or my hopes for the new season anyway.
That's brilliant. Listen, Gerard, thanks a million for taking the time to talk to us. Your talk, 1 p.m. on Saturday, so I'll tell anyone that's interested in football and history, come along. Thanks again for joining us today, Gerard.
And it's up on the Bohemians website as well, on the homepage there, for anyone who wants information.
Perfect. Listen, thanks again for your time, Gerard, and good luck to Bows for the season. Thanks a million. That was great. That was Gerard Farrell, who was talking to us about an event on Saturday. Just looking at some things to look forward to this weekend. I won't run through them all because we're nearly running out of time. But of course, Allianz League action is returning in hurling and soccer, or hurling and football, I should say. And Dublin, a very interesting game. Dublin are away to Monaghan, so it'll be interesting to see how they get on. And of course, other action, just Pro 14 and FA Cup action this weekend. And I think in basketball, the national final, the cup final, is on today. That's it for this evening. I'd like to thank my guests this evening, Sarah Webb and Gerard Farrell, for joining me today. Thank you for joining me, and I'll talk to you next week. And enjoy your sporting week, and I know it's cold outside, but try and go out and support your local football sporting team, whatever discipline they are. That's it for this week. I'll talk to you again next week.